The Bernard Bergen Podcast is brought to you by BernardBergen.com.
What's going on, y'all? And thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. I love bringing you some of the exclusive behind-the-scenes conversations that I get to have every single day. And today's conversation comes from today, actually. I got to sit down with style blogger, fashion guru, and influencer Richard Meharry, and you can connect with Richard on Instagram at Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, Meharry, M-E-H-A-R-R-Y. Man, we have a powerful interview that Richard and his team is going to release, but I have some exclusive behind-the-scenes audio content. Let us know what you think, and please go tag and connect with Richard on IG. Let's get started.
Today we have a special treat. We have author, speaker, entrepreneur Bernard Bergen. How we doing?
I am excellent, Richard. Thanks for having me.
For sure. And we're definitely, you know, kind of kicking off the year, so I wanted to create something that could help somebody achieve their goals, success, and, you know, backsliding this time of year, it's still fresh in our minds. So I kind of wanted to get some tips from you, since that is your niche.
Yeah.
And as since you have a military background, and I've heard you say in a lot of speeches, you know, missions versus goals. Can you explain, like, what that means and how we can apply that?
Yeah, man, great question, Richard. One of the things I, you know, challenge people to think about is, you know, we all have goals. We call them resolutions or whatever we want to call them to be creative. But ultimately, goals change.
Okay.
You know, like, you can set that, I need to lose 20 pounds. Life gets hard. All of a sudden, goal change.
Like next week.
Right, I'm done. But when you have a mission, it's a part of your core values. It's a part of your life. Like, one of my missions in life is to help men find their voice again.
Okay.
You know, so that they can lead in their families and continue to fulfill their purpose. So again, no matter what happens, that mission continues. Year after year after year. And I think when you start deepening your goals to be life missions, like, if I'm going to live in health, no matter my body weight, then we don't care if the gym's full. We don't care if we have a gym membership. We don't care if it's past January.
Yeah.
We're going to stay with the mission of living in health. And I think so many people just opt for goals because they know they change and then they don't have to commit.
Okay. So is it more the commitment, or kind of what is, or is it that we have a bigger, broader view of the subject?
Yeah, so one of the things I challenge people to think about is what that result is going to be. And I think while goals are worthy, goals are so temporary. Like if you were in school, graduating to the next grade, goal, graduate, goal, pass the class. But your mission is to graduate from school, not to be a lifelong student. Be a lifelong learner, but not a lifelong student. You know, so
the purpose behind it, more or less.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and then obviously, just with goals or missions, what is the, how's that, how do we not backslide?
Ooh, so one of the things that I always remind people is that discipline is my love language.
Okay.
You know, I don't mind discipline. My dad was very disciplined. And he had us, every time we left the bed, we had to make the bed.
Yeah.
And you got to think, so you get up out of the bed just to run to the bathroom and back. If he came to the room before you got back, he's like, why is your bed not made? So discipline, so what he was teaching us was, think about the small things that add up to the big things.
Okay.
Because, you know, cartoons could have been on and I just stopped to watch the TV. All of a sudden, the bed still not made. Translate that through my military time. I saw how much discipline protected people.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't truly just bravery or courage. It was the disciplines. Attention to detail. Look out for the person to your left or to your right. Those things really translated into mission success.
Yeah.
Now, think about all the people who are failing to achieve their goals. Like you said, something shifts and they just quit. They're not thinking about how their mission success affect someone else. So when you start with discipline, I always say this, discipline is sharpened by accountability. So when you start thinking about how your lack of discipline affects someone else, you start letting other people hold you accountable.
Okay, so since we're on the topic of people then, what if we need to shift people or friends groups or accountability? How do we find that if, you know, we notice that our immediate group isn't who we ideally want to be?
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I always challenge people is, remember what your friends didn't sign up for. They signed up to be your friend, not build a business with you.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, now you're an entrepreneur, or you're a creator, and you're building something. And the first thing people we turn to is our friends and say, hop on board with me and help me do this. And they're like, I just signed up to be your friend. I didn't want to do all this extra stuff. And what I love is, you know, one of the places we met was in a group of people seeking similar things,
right?
Seeking how to be better creators, seeking how to be around entrepreneurs. And I think that's where we start, Richard.
Okay.
We truly say, I still love my friends, but guys, I'll be hanging out with these guys because this is what I need to learn for this season.
Right. Mm. So then just finding a group either through, you know, there's tons of meetups.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever your running groups, if you're trying to get back into health. And just trying to get that community aside from friendship.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so then you brought up making your bed. And one of my favorite speeches I posted on Instagram is the Navy SEAL who talks about making your bed. So then what are some of the core principles that you've used or learned in the military that you kind of still use today?
Yeah, man. So many people don't have a North Star, so to speak. Like a set of core values and principles that no matter where they go, they orient to those values and principles. And the military, I was in the Army specifically, we had some great principles, and they ultimately, it's an acronym for leadership. So it's loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And for me, I just took that and made it a part of my core values, made it a part of my family's core values. And everything we do, we orient to those principles. And I think when people ask you to do things that's outside of that, you really get to shift them back to what you stand for and what you believe in. And saying no becomes so much smoother and easier because you're like, no, I don't do X. Right. I don't do Y. Thanks for asking, but that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah. So, and in developing, you know, character, I think that's one thing that's not taught a lot. Kind of what are your principles in building character, or how would you explain to somebody like, all right, I want to kind of reshift, you know, my character?
Right. So quick shout out to my coach, Coach Kendall Ficklin.
Yeah.
He has been training and teaching us deeply on morals, character, and integrity in this season. And he's saying that so many people just throw out morals, throw out character, and have loose integrity because the opportunity is big enough. We see it all the time in entertainment. We see it all the time in the creator space. Like we had a major creator who went to a suicide forest to film something to just get views.
Right.
So where was his morals? What was his character? What was his integrity? Like, I don't know. I'm not judging.
Right.
But I'm challenging the mindset of views matter more than my morals, my character, and my integrity. So one of the things that you can immediately do to start building that is find people who exemplify some character traits you enjoy. Like maybe someone is always consistent.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I need to learn consistency. So you start following them or reaching out to them or connecting with them. Say someone is very friendly. Again, you want to learn that skill. So you start putting yourself in the environment so you can see things, because more is caught than taught. And if you're around people, you naturally learn.
Okay. And so what are you using to track? Because, you know, if you study success, there's always like, all right, you got to write it down, you got to make a list. How do you personally, you know, or a coach, to track things?
All right, so one of the things that I happen to have access to, because I'm a part of a group called G-Men Worldwide, so big shout out to us on Instagram, we have something called the Core Four. So it's mind, health, balance, and wealth. Mm-hmm. And in each category, we're tracking our effort and our time in each category. Because we, you know, there's only 168 hours in the week. So where are you putting your extra time? Not the time you have to sleep. Not the time you have to go earn a living and generate revenue for your business and your entrepreneurial pursuits. But the other time, are you spending that reading or watching TV?
Okay.
That's going to produce results. So mind, I would track my reading. I try to read 3 to 5 books a week because it challenges me to change. So health,
daily working out. Like, I had to get up super early today to get my workout in so we can start on time, you know, and then balance. How much time am I spending with my loved ones?
Yeah.
You know, specifically family, specifically close friends, to build unity, community, and relationships. And then lastly, wealth. Growing your wealth is not just for you, it's for those coming behind you. So I think a lot of times we're like, I don't need to be fiscally responsible. I have everything I have or need, but you're not thinking about your nieces, your nephews, your children, their children. And I think if you think that way, you track and measure very specifically because you want the results that measuring brings.
Okay. And is that a process of, like, do you physically write that down, or is that just an accountability that you kind of have within yourself? Like, what does that look like?
All right. So specifically, for all those who don't like spreadsheets, we have a spreadsheet. You know, so you are literally putting in the number of hours each day you spend in each category.
Okay.
And then at the end, it calculates how much time you literally put into each category: mind, health, balance, and wealth. And then you can see if you're growing or if you're failing. You can see the weak areas consistently and say, okay, my mind was high, but my health was low.
Okay.
Because even though I worked out every day, it was only 20 minutes, and every time it wasn't high intensity workout. So I was kind of slacking.
Okay.
You know, so you really get a good picture of who you are becoming over time.
And I know you said reading is like a big part of, you know, your lifestyle. One, are you physically just like sitting down and turning pages, or is it audio?
So mostly it's audio because commute and travel.
Okay.
But when I can, physical books.
Okay.
I think there's something that helps you relax when you have a physical book. I think when you have an audio book, you can still be in high motion, high energy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a chapter a night, maybe an hour or two before bed, you can get through most books very consistently, staying on that routine.
Because, I mean, we hear like the Ty Lopez's, everybody's like, oh, I read, you know, 52 books in a year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wonder how they actually consuming that. Speaking of books, and what are, you know, three books, if you had to map out, you know, this year that you wanted to give somebody, what are the three books that you would, you know, kind of recommend?
So right off the back, you know, whether you're a religious person or not, I challenge people to read the Bible.
Yeah.
One of the things that I heard recently from someone I follow, he said, he was talking about the story of David and the scandal with King David taking somebody else's wife. And he was like, I learned that in the Bible. Like, that sounds like a tabloid. But he was like, no, it's rich and full of stories. And I think in each story, there are principles that you can challenge, but see if it fits.
Yeah.
And I think it will create an aspect of wisdom that we wouldn't get from any other source.
Okay.
Number two, you know, if you're a creator, if you're somebody just looking to grow your brand online, any of Gary Vee's books, Crushing It, Crush It, I think it, like, I would give these books to anyone saying, I want a YouTube channel, you know, I want to increase my Instagram tribe and community, because I think it just challenges you to the lie in your head that I can't do it.
Okay.
Because he highlights so many examples of people who did it in different spaces. People who knit for a living. People who built businesses babysitting. You know, you're like, what? Why do you have that many followers? And he really speaks to the heartbeat of doing the work outside the work.
Yeah.
You know, like messaging people back and the human aspect of connecting. And I think so many of us are chasing celebrity. And I think he does a great job of making it relational.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you know, I would challenge people to grow with Tim Grover's book, Relentless.
Okay.
It's a easy read, but when I say his concepts are hard-hitting, one of the things he said recently in an Instagram post that kind of shocked me, he was like, a marathon is a sprint. He was like, the person who won the last Chicago marathon was running a five-minute mile.
Jeez.
He's like, that's sprinting.
Yeah.
That is not, you know what I'm saying? It's not comfortable, you know, running.
I do run. And
a five I'm not, minute
I don't know
mile?
If I'm doing that for
average. I wanted to argue.
Right.
But when you look at the results, you look at the numbers, you look how fast he finished the marathon, you're like, he was running a 5 minute mile.
Yeah.
Average. He's like, that is not a jog, that's a sprint. And he was like, so when you have the wrong concept in your head, you get the wrong results.
Okay.
So he challenges you to change the concept And he's, one of the things he also says is, you might not like the work,
yeah,
but you love the results.
Okay.
And the work leads to results.
Oh, awesome. No, I definitely, make sure you go get those. I'll make sure to link those. I'll write them down. And then, you know, lastly, kind of, you weren't always this motivational speaker,
oh, no.
I'm sure.
No.
Kind of, what were your first, you know, journeys and kind of overcoming and just building, you know, your core values?
Yeah, so I'll take you back to when I was 19. I had a bit of an anger problem. My parents were divorced. And, you know, I came from a family with, like, big family, big extended family. So when my parents divorced, I'm losing that natural love connection and just intimate training from, you know, aunts and uncles who are around me. And I have a, you know, it's, I have four brothers, so, you know, you need the extra
yeah.
attention. And as I'm seeing my anger problem, not like, like, I never overreacted in public or things like that, but you can feel it on the inside. So I was
right.
like, I need something to help me get back to my core of discipline, get back to my place of focus. And what hit me was the best way to do that was to do something physical. So I started boxing.
Okay.
And what I learned in boxing, and it's so weird because, you know, it was a major fight the other night.
Right.
No matter how big and bad you feel you are.
The bigger are, the greater they fall.
When you get punched in the face, it reorients everything. And I think a lot of those lessons taught me about life. And
yeah.
you just said one of those things, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And I really started to respect the capability in every other human being. Because you can step in the ring with someone who seems smaller than you, but maybe he was faster, maybe he had better defense.
Yeah.
And you started to respect the capability of everyone else. And it really helped me channel that anger into positive outcomes in my life.
Okay. And, you know, just wrapping up, one last question. As a person who's been in the military, definitely gone through battle, how do we quiet our mind and
oh, wow.
thoughts?
Oh, wow.
'Cause I think that's the hardest thing for most people just trying to achieve, you know, anything
yeah.
or just get through their day-to-day is quieting the mind and self-talk. And in a life and death situation, you know, how is that and how do you kind of gain that?
Okay, so if you're in a life and death situation, take immediate action. I think one of the things we have the luxury of doing in America, we have a very peaceable country. We can always get back to peace. Some countries don't have that luxury.
Right.
You know, they're always in a state of war.
Okay.
So the quiet comes in taking action because then you focus all your energy on what's in front of you.
Okay.
Solve the problem in front of you. Now, if you deal with deeper anxiety or stress, one of the first things I would recommend is go get therapy.
Okay.
Like, just humble yourself, go get therapy, see if it's a fit. It might not be a fit, but it's a step.
Yeah.
And it's an action you can take today. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of meditation, but I've become a deep practitioner and fan because what I find is when you're challenged to focus on something as simply as your breathing,
yeah.
like you ignore the fact that your body can breathe itself.
Right.
You know, and when you start focusing on each breath, I think it really helps you understand that in all the complex, there's always simplicity.
Yeah.
And I think that creates a focal point in your life. And that stills everything else.
Hey, awesome. Well, you know, I definitely appreciate you, you know, for coming on. How can we find you? Where are you at?
All right, y'all. I'm going to make it super hard for you. It's at Bernard Bergen everywhere. So Instagram is where I communicate the most. So if you want to connect immediately, Instagram. But I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook. So, again, any platform you like, I'm there.
Hey, there you go. Thanks again, brother.
Appreciate it. This
Till
was great.
Next time.
All right, y'all. I appreciate it, man. That was great. I think it was good.
Yeah. No, it was smooth. I would normally like cut up things,
yeah.
but I might just like let it rock all the way through.
Yeah, yeah. It's just all the work I do in communicating. It really helps me to just share stories that people can use.
Right. And
yeah.
I mean, with this, it's just kind of like, that's literally what you do. So
yeah.
I just kind of have to throw you questions.
Yeah, yeah.
In a meaningful way. So
yeah.
No, hey,
this
that was
good.
That worked. The only thing I probably was like, even just take a couple pictures.
Sure. Sure.
Just for like promotion.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's really it.
All right, y'all. To everybody who was streaming,
Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with two things you learned and one challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast.